Hello everyone and welcome to the Outside Edge Cricket Podcast. I'm your host Rudra. The semi-finals of the World Cup are exactly 1 week from today, but the semi-final spot actually kind of already looks sealed to me. So we're going to talk about all of that in this episode. So just 2 days ago when I recorded the last episode, I was talking about how Group A looks like the one that's going to be very close and how England needed to win over New Zealand. And boy, they did win over New Zealand. What a game that was. Let's just start off by talking about that. England winning the toss elected to bat first and they posted 179 for 6 in their 20 overs. They started off brilliantly, like both their openers scoring half centuries, Josh Butler, Alex Hales. A good innings for Alex Hales considering that he was kind of struggling in the first couple of games of the World Cup. And Josh Butler scoring 73 of 47. He was run out, I think, in the 17th or the 18th over by Williamson. An amazing throw by Williamson. England, I feel England were like 20 runs short in their target considering how they were going, like the way they started. They hadn't lost a wicket in the first 10 overs, so they looked good to reach at least 200. But good cameos in the end from Livingston and Sam Curran, and that powered them to 170, which was slightly above par score on that pitch. And in response, New Zealand scored 159 for 6 in their 20 overs. No one except Glenn Phillips really got going for them. I know Kane Williamson scored 40 runs, but he really just played that anchor role, a runner ball 40 for him. New Zealand falling 20 runs short at the end. I just want to talk about Josh Butler first. So Nasser Hussain said this after the game, that this was probably Josh Butler's best game as captain of the England T20 side. Not just his performance with the bat, but the way... But just the energy around England in this team, the way they were celebrating after getting wickets, there was just a very positive vibe around them, right? And just as a spectator, when I was watching the game, it looked like an England team that was there to win and that really needed to win. I mean, they really needed to win it because if they lost the match, they were out of the tournament. So I like the way England won the game. Not just the fact that they overplayed New Zealand, but just the mindset that the team looked in, it looked very, very good. And I think England have now sealed their spot in the semifinals because they're at number two. They have a positive net run rate in Australia. So even if Australia wins their next game, they would have to win it by like at least 100 runs or more if they want to have a better net run rate compared to England. And New Zealand, obviously, they're at top of the table. They just need to win their next game against Ireland and they are through. So this group looks sorted now just after that one game. Imagine, I mean, before that we were talking about how Australia, England, maybe even Sri Lanka could jump in, you know, if they defeated Australia. But just one match and now things seem clear that New Zealand are going to finish at the top of the table and England at number two. I want to talk about Australia coming into the tournament, clear favorite according to me. You know, that's what most people were saying. Australia at home, they don't lose matches. The way they perform in World Cups, they come in with a mindset. It's in their culture, all that stuff. And Australia are not even going to make it through to the semifinals of this World Cup. I mean, what an upset that is, right? Like, what went wrong for Australia really this year? Their game against England was washed out and they lost the game against New Zealand. So just that one loss against New Zealand and they're out of the World Cup. Is it really that simple? I mean, because even the games that they've won, we saw that they were always reliant on someone to score runs. Whether it was Finch in that game that they won against Ireland or maybe Mitch Marsh, and they were reliant on contributions in that batting lineup. And we always talk about how lethal the Australian pace attack is, right? They won the game against Ireland by 43 runs. Just imagine they let Ireland into that game even after having Ireland down for 25 for 5. That just shows that Australia weren't capitalizing on those moments that we've always seen them capture, right? And after all that being said, I would actually call Australia slightly unlucky in this tournament because, you know, if their game against England was not washed out, they'd won that game. Or even if they'd lost that game, it would at least be like a deserving, knockout of the tournament. But regardless of that being said, they lost their first game by a huge margin. And that's just hurting them now. They obviously aren't knocked out of the tournament yet. But looking at the circumstances, I don't think England is going to lose to Afghanistan and neither is New Zealand to Ireland, you know. So, yeah, semi-final spot sealed for me. New Zealand, number one. England, number two. Australia, unfortunately, will finish at number three, barring, you know, a magical match that Australia have against Afghanistan, which I think is unlikely to happen. So, that was group one. Coming to group two, we had a thriller of a match last night, India versus Bangladesh. India winning the toss and electing to bat first, which according to me was not the right decision at all. You know, they were playing the game at the Adelaide Oval, and record shows that Adelaide Oval is better while chasing, playing under lights. It was a flatter pitch. And we saw that, you know, Bangladesh when they came. So in India, let's just start off with that. India batting first, we scored 184 for six. Contributions from KL Rahul, once Virat Kohli, once again Surya Kumar Yadav, and then even Ashwin came in and hit a few hits in the end. KL Rahul, I criticized him in the last episode, where I said that I think it's high time for him and Rishabh Pant needs to come into the side. They backed KL Rahul, and I mean, good for them. He has performed. That's the thing about KL Rahul, right? When he plays, he looks so good as a player. But when he doesn't, which is most often, he just doesn't look at that level. And although I still have my doubts about KL Rahul, the team is obviously going to back him now that he scored in half century, and deservedly so. So, yeah, I don't see any changes happening to the 11 in the upcoming game. Akshar Patel obviously came back into the 11 instead of Deepak Hooda. I think we're going to stick with this combination. It's sitting right for us, you know, with five bowlers and Akshar Patel as a sixth bowler. So, and obviously Virat Kohli. I mean, this tournament is seriously giving me the 2016 Kohli vibes. Like, every time Virat Kohli comes to the crease now, you know that he's not getting out, and you know he's going to go big for us. He's going to anchor the innings. He's going to go big in the end. This is what we know Kohli for, and I'm so happy he's performing for us. Like, there's just that comfort when he comes to the crease, when you know that he's going to score runs for us. Surya Kumar Yadav, once again, 30 runs of 16 balls, strike rate of nearly 200. Unlucky dismissal, I would say, when he tried to cut Shakib. He actually went off balance and he got bowled. But regardless, I mean, also congratulations to him. He is now the number one T20 batter officially. You know, it's been coming for a long time, the way he's performed since his debut. So, and what a story for him, right? Not getting his India cap for such a long time. Finally got his debut in March 2021. And 18 months and 18 months later, he's the number one batter in the world. So, big ups for him. I think he is our most important batter alongside Kohli this tournament. Also, Rohit Sharma. I'd say Rohit Sharma looked very rusty yesterday for some reason. Like, Adelaide, the ball was bouncing. They were bowling a lot of bouncers. I thought that Rohit Sharma was going to go big and it was going to be a good day for him. But he just kept hitting the balls to the fielders, and that's exactly how he got out. It was a perfect setup. A bouncer that he tried to cut, which was caught right at point. So, not a great tournament for him so far, but regardless, I think he's gonna come back stronger for us in the upcoming games. Three wickets for Hasan Mahmood of Bangladesh, and an amazing spell by Tazkian Ahmad. 4 overs, none for just 15 runs, an economy of 3.8. And coming to the second innings, so Bangladesh, everyone were expecting Bangladesh to either crumble or collapse at some point in the innings, right? But just the way Litton Das started the innings, Bangladesh's score was 60 for no loss after 6 overs, out of which 57 runs were scored by just Litton Das. He was playing at a strike rate of 250, and some of the shots that he played in his innings was absolutely amazing. India really looked like they were crumbling at that point. None of the bowlers were able to control Litton Das. And then we got the second big shock when it started raining on the ground, and Bangladesh were actually 17 runs ahead of the DLS method. So if the match hadn't gone on, Bangladesh would have won the game, and then India would have to win the next game against Zimbabwe, And then Pakistan would have to beat Bangladesh in the last game for us to qualify. So we would actually have to rely on Pakistan if the match hadn't gone ahead. But regardless, I'm happy the match went ahead. The revised target for Bangladesh was 151 in 17 overs. And after that, KL Rahul produced one of the best runouts that I've seen in my life. I mean, just the way he came running in, he was off balance when he did the throw. The throw was flat, it was hard. It looked like it was not going to hit, and then it just hit the stumps, and Litin Das was run out for 60. By far the best moment in the field that we've had so far in this tournament. If Litin Das would have stayed for, I think, even a couple of more overs, Bangladesh would have easily chased the target down. And, you know, after the first wicket fell, Bangladesh started crumbling. They lost, I think, 5 or 6 wickets within 3 or 4 overs. And everyone thought that the game was a wrap. They needed 43 runs in 3 overs with their number 7 and number 8 batting. Everyone thought the game was over. And then came in Nurul Hasan, their wicketkeeper. He finished not out on 25 of 14. But just the fact that he showed a little bit of inexperience there. He was taking singles and doubles at the time where he should have actually stayed on strike till the end and tried to hit a couple of big hits. Regardless of that, in the last over, Arshdeep Singh defending 20 runs, he won us the match by 5 wickets. Another amazing performance by Arshdeep Singh. I mean, I'm honestly out of words for this guy. Playing his first tournament, he has 9 wickets in his first 4 games. He is playing the exact role that Bumrah used to play for us. Bowling at the start, bowling in the middle, getting those crucial wickets. And the fact that he's a left-arm bowler is adding so much variety to our bowling lineup. I absolutely love it. Also, Mohammad Shami had a decent spell for us. 3 overs, 1 for 25. None of the bowlers went below an economy of 8.3. So that's, I wouldn't say that's concerning for us, because just considering the fact that how Bangladesh started and the fact that it was reduced overs, you do expect the economy to be slightly higher. But yeah, not a big concern. The way we performed in the first 3 games, our bowling lineup looks good, and we should be back in the next game. So yeah, playing 11 looks good for India, and now we are definitely going through to the semis. We're at the top of the table right now with 6 points. South Africa is at number 2 with 5 points. South Africa have a game against Pakistan tonight. So if they win that, they're going to go at the top of the table. And then India's last game is against Zimbabwe, and South Africa's is against Netherlands. So you expect them to win both those games as well. So this is how the group stages look to me right now. New Zealand are going to finish at number 1 in group 1, England at number 2, and South Africa are going to finish at number 1 in group 2, and India at number 2. Which would mean that the first semi-final, according to me, is going to be New Zealand versus India at SCG, the Sydney Cricket Ground. And second semi-final is going to be South Africa versus England at the Adelaide Oval. I am honestly really, really hoping that I'm obviously really, really hoping that India goes all the way. But I just have a gut feeling. I've been saying this for the past 2 months. South Africa look like a team that are going to win the World Cup. And the way they're performing, I don't think you can deny that they look like the favorites in the tournament. Their bowling lineup is 1 to none. I mean, they're fast bowlers, they're spinners, every single player in that team, except Babuma maybe. Yeah, they look like a team to reckon with. And I wouldn't be surprised if we have an India-South Africa final at the MCG where South Africa wins the tournament for the first time ever. So, wins the World Cup for the first time ever. So that would be very, very magical for them. So yeah, that was a roundup of how the group stages look a week before the semi-final stage. I would love to see if we see any changes to this. I don't think there are going to be any, but you know, we never know. Australia might pull something out of the bag at the last minute. Rain might interrupt the game, you know, you never know. So that's it for today's episode. I hope you'll enjoy it. Thank you for listening, and until next time, goodbye.